Let's pray for Steve and for ourselves as we prepare to hear God's word tonight. So Father God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you that you've revealed yourself to us in Scripture. Thank you for this Advent season, this chance to think more about what the birth of Jesus means to each one of us. Father, I pray for my brother Steve. I pray now that you would release the Holy Spirit upon him, that you would anoint him to speak your words to us tonight. And I pray for myself and for each one of us here tonight that we would have open hearts and minds to hear your voice clearly as you speak to each one of us. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Danny. Evening, everybody. So, can't believe it's Advent already. Is it me, or as we get older, does Advent come round even quicker than normal? Yeah, there's a few nods around the house. In fact, this year it was so embarrassing. We got to the 1st of December and we had to get reminded by our 17-year-old that it was Advent and to get the Advent calendar out. I don't know, I don't think you ever get too old for an Advent calendar, do you? No, maybe not. No, in your house, the same as mine. But actually, we really love this time of year. We get the Advent calendar out with the chocolates. We have candles on the table at home and the girls light them every night. It's kind of a bit of a tradition we have, which is really good. But this season of Advent, if we think about what Advent means, it's to remember Christ's birth while at the same time preparing ourselves for his coming again. But I don't know about you, but I tend to spend this whole time of Advent preparing for things like finishing work or using up a few days' holiday I've got left as well, or maybe preparing for the family descending on us for Christmas, about who's going to go where and how much time we're going to spend with the in-laws, or not, as the case may be, or preparing for buying presents or food or whatever, or maybe, as I spoke to someone the other day, they're actually preparing to go on an adventure over Christmas so that they can leave all this behind and come back when it's all over. I know that sounds like a really good idea, doesn't it? But we're going to talk a little bit about adventure tonight, because I'm going to talk a little bit about God's adventure. I wonder if any of you have had experiences in your life where a number of God incidences have just happened one after the other, and you've just gone, wow. Like maybe when God's revealed something about the plan that he has for your life. And that's like amazing. And then you go and tell somebody about it. And they go, yeah, that's amazing. I can see that in you. And you feel really encouraged. And then you go back and you open up the scriptures and the words just leap off the page. It's like, this is amazing. This is wow. Anybody else like that? Well, I would love to have more moments like that. And I would love to have more moments like that in this Advent season. Because you see, for me, what I'd like us to consider today is that actually Advent is the call to adventure. See what I did there? Yeah, I know. And when I said to my 17-year-old daughter, she said, what are you speaking on tonight, Dad? And I told her, and I said this to her, and she just went, that's so embarrassing. But actually, I think I would say it's really quite a good thing to consider, and I'll tell you why, because we're coming on to our Bible reading in a minute, because I think we can learn a lot from those that have gone before us. We can learn from those in the Bible, and this week we're going to look at some of the very first people that went on an adventure. We're going to look at the angel appearing to Mary, and then next week we're going to look at the angel appearing to Joseph and what we can learn from them. Okay, so today we start to look at the news that the long-awaited Messiah would finally be born. So we're going to have the words for our passage today from Luke chapter 1, verse 26. So I'm going to read this, so feel free to follow along. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. "The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. That's a pretty amazing wow moment, don't you think? If you were Mary, or if any of us had a visitation from angel, I think it would be pretty impressive. But maybe let's just take a moment to ask a couple of questions. Why do we think God chose Mary? Why pick her, of all the women in the whole of Israel, for this role in this great adventure? Why bestow on her the honor of serving as the mother of the Messiah? I'm not expecting you to answer. They're kind of rhetorical questions, but I'm hoping I'm going to answer them a little bit, because I think there's some things in this passage that tells us things about Mary, but is actually relevant to all of us who are considering, thinking about, or even accepting God's adventure that he might have for us. So for Mary, this was a wow moment. So I'm going to use those words a little bit today. I'm going to explore three areas. I'm going to look at Mary's attitude to God's will. I'm going to look at the place that others had in her life. And then I'm going to look at Mary's attitude to God's word. Okay, with me? So let's have a look at the first one. I think Mary had the right attitude about God's will. Very simply, she said yes. We look back at our text. Gabriel delivers this message from God. He tells Mary she will be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah. And she simply says, "How will this be?" Not "What are you talking about?" but "How will this be?" Just getting the practical parts out of it. And the angel goes on to say, "For no word from God will ever fail." Then in verse 38, Mary says, "Yes. If this is God's will for my life, I am the Lord's servant." Wow. Let's just not trivialize that for a moment. You see, you need to understand that this is probably the most incredibly courageous thing for her to say. First of all, at the very least, her reputation would have been shot to pieces. She would have been branded a loose woman. At the very worst, according to religious laws of her culture, Mary could have faced death by stoning. So this was one incredible, gutsy teenager. Let that sink in a minute. Mary was only a teenager. Only teenagers in tonight. I wonder if you were Mary, would you be willing to accept that call of God's life at such a young age? You see, when a poor peasant teenager humbly says to Gabriel, "I am the Lord's servant," not only did her adventure start, But also, this was the start of God's bigger adventure for saving this world. So this is one small teenager saying yes to God, which triggers the start of God's great adventure for saving this world. Isn't that amazing? That God chooses teenagers. In fact, he doesn't just choose teenagers, he actually chooses all of us. Because I think if he can use a humble young girl, he can use any life. He can use yours and he can use mine. And God invites us on an adventure. People like Mary, people like you, people like me. People who are willing to say, very simply, I am the Lord's servant. So Mary says, I am willing. I am the Lord's servant. The second part I want us to think about is the part that others played in her life for this moment. You'll remember that the next part of Mary's great adventure is that she rushes to go and visit her Uncle Zach and Auntie Liz, who have got, the angel tells her that Elizabeth's due to have this baby. So I think that she rushed off, I think maybe for mutual support, two pregnant women together, that'd be quite good, wouldn't it? I'd get that. Maybe she rushes off to go and share with Elizabeth this wow moment that God has just revealed to her. But I actually wonder if there's something else. Mary was faithful in following the words that the angel had said to her and telling her that Elizabeth was pregnant. See, they didn't have mobile phones in those days or texts or Facebook, so they probably wouldn't have known. There'd have been a number of miles between them. So she rushes off and trusts the word that the angel has said to her. Because when she gets there, Elizabeth says to Mary what I think are some really holy, inspired words. Elizabeth says to her, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. I don't know about you, but sometimes we need that, don't we, from other people. When we think we've heard from God and God has maybe set us or revealed something about his plan for our life, we need to go and see godly friends or family to share it with them, and we pray that it will be reinforced and it will be encouraged. But also I think it just reinforces the willingness that we've said to God. Maybe we might not use the words, I am your servant, but if we've accepted that call from God, and it reinforces it, and it gives us confidence to go on. So Mary was willing to be the Lord's servant. She sought out others. She shared her moment with God, and it got reinforced through the others around her. So I also think Mary was chosen because she had the right attitude about God's written word. After the angels appeared to her and after she's been to Elizabeth, she sings the most amazing song. That's right, I'm not going to sing it. You'll be pleased to know. It's called the Magnificat. It's not something we come across very often, but it's the most amazing song. We're going to have a look at it in a minute. But first of all, I want to read you something that a German theologian wrote about this song. A guy called Dietrich Bonhoeffer spoke these words in a sermon. That the Song of Mary is the oldest Advent hymn. It is at once the most passionate, the wildest, one might even say the most revolutionary hymn ever sung. This is not the gentle, tender, dreamy Mary who we sometimes see in paintings. This song has none of the sweet, nostalgic, or even playful tones of some of our Christmas carols. It is instead a hard, strong, inexorable song about the power of God and the powerlessness of humankind. Wow, that's amazing words, aren't they? So I thought actually maybe because we don't come across this song very often, or maybe when we do, we just kind of trip it off the song, off our lips. Because if ever you come to more traditional evensong, it's often spoken and said at those types of services, but we don't have them very often here. So what I wondered, if you were up for this, if you were up for standing up in a minute, and the words are going to come up on the screen, and maybe we say this together. I know, you've all got a bit comfortable, and he's like, what is he getting me to do? But I'll explain in a minute. Are you happy for that? So let's stand up, and we'll say these words together as they come up on the screen. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Amen. Sit down, you good Anglican people. That was really good. Thank you very much. Let's just keep those words up a minute, if we can, on the screen, because I want to just pull out the first line. Mary says, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. You see, before she says anything else, the first thing that she does is give glory to God. It's not about her. It's not about how amazing how God has done this for me, but it's about giving glory to God. And I think that's a really great place to start. But it also talks about what God would do through this son. It would talk about the long-awaited Messiah, what he would be like, about his mission on earth, and anticipating what he would accomplish, all within such a short song. So how did she know all these things? You see, when you look at this in a little bit more detail, there are actually 15 direct quotes from the Old Testament in that short song. But you've got to remember something, that actually Mary obviously knew her Bible. She knew it well, must have understood it. But it would have been really difficult for Mary, because in those days they didn't have scripture or written word like you and I have it. She would have had to memorize Old Testament scripture. Probably her parents would have taught it to her over the years. And not only would she have to memorize it, she'd have had to probably meditate on it and think about it and remember it and memorize it. And above all, she trusted God and she believed what was written down. And she would have also been thinking in her head about what happens in Isaiah. In a sense, what she's saying is, I'll be the virgin promised in Isaiah. Because she knew her Bible so well, she would have known what the Old Testament prophecies were about. So I wonder if any of you have ever been in those God moments when incidences just seem to line up one after another. But maybe there's some of you here tonight who haven't had many of those moments. Maybe you've heard something to you, I thought, I'd love to have a moment like that. Well, for Mary, what I believe is it starts with her understanding and knowledge of God's word. That she cherished it in her heart. That she read it, she meditated on it. And she knew it, and she memorized it. As many of you know, I'm exploring, well, I am now, whether or not I like it or not, going to be ordained in the Church of England in 2 years' time, and I'm starting my training done in September. And I remember when the kind of first kind of God speaking to me about it, and I didn't use the word, I am the Lord's servant, but for me reading this, that's what I'm saying to God. I am the Lord's servant. As difficult as I find it is, I don't know what the future's going to hold, as hard as it's going to be, I am the Lord's servant. And I've had some amazing people along the way that have given me support and encouragement and reinforced that calling. And at times when I've doubted and times when I thought this couldn't possibly be something that God is calling me to do, they've given me a real words of encouragement and times to say, no, Steve, this is what we believe God is calling you to do. But I'm not very good at writing songs or doing poetry, you'll be pleased to know. But what I do know is when I open up God's word and I read that God is with me, God is for me, His promises are something that I will treasure and I will stay with me for those times in a few years' time when we've moved from here and we're doing something different. It'll remind me that God is with me. I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, He says. You see, when it comes to God's adventure, He uses people who believe His promises and trust them and live by them. So as we come to a conclusion, I pray that this Advent is not just another Advent season, but this is an opportunity for you to go on an adventure with God over the next few weeks as we come up to Christmas. That you have an attitude of being willing to be used by God. That you're willing to accept His call. Maybe it's just something as simple as inviting people to one of the services that we've heard about that are coming up over the next few weeks. But I also pray this Advent will be time of many of you starting on that event, of that adventure. Times of encouragement from others that you can share those wow moments that God has said to you. And Danny and I were having a joke about this last week. He said he would love to receive emails from any of you that God is speaking to share that moment with. Or maybe share it with those in your connect groups. We would love to share stories about what God is doing in your life. But also I pray that this is a time that we have the right attitude about God's word. That we've heard that Mary didn't just memorize it or meditate on it, she cherished it and knew the precious truth that was in it. And that she fulfilled it. She believed the promises of God. And it says, may it be to be according to your word. So those wow moments in our life, that we're willing to be the Lord's servant, that others support us and give us the right encouragement, that we meditate and we follow God's word. Because when God moves in our lives, those God incidences, those God moments are absolutely amazing. And I don't know about you, but I said at the beginning, I want more of those moments, and I want to hear God doing more of those moments in your life. So a really good place to start, if some of you haven't considered, we've got Waiting for Jesus coming up on Wednesday, just to take time out of the busyness of life, just to prepare ourselves in the quietness of an hour to go through the Christmas story and remind ourselves and waiting for Jesus. But also tonight, we're going to come and have communion together and do this in remembrance of me. Not just in remembrance of what Jesus did when he was here, but also to remember ourselves to keep doing this until he comes again. So as you're walking down this central bit and you're waiting to receive the bread and wine, maybe tonight you can be saying to God, as you're walking forward, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you that you are God who loves to bless and encourages. You are God who loves to reveal yourself to us and to tell us what our next part of your plan is you have for our life. May you give us eyes and ears to hear and listen to what you have to say to us in this Advent season, this time of preparation. But may it be a time, Lord, when we have those moments when you just break into those times in our daily lives, when we have nothing else to say other than, that was God. May we have others around us who are able to reinforce and support us in that, but may we also be those who can give encouragement and give us wisdom. But above all, Lord, I pray you just give us a desire for your word. Give us a desire to know more about it, to read it, to meditate on it, to memorize it, that, Lord, you would speak to us, Lord, that the words would just lift off this page. And, Lord, over this Advent period, that, Lord, you would come by your Holy Spirit and just give people here amazing stories of encouragement, of amazing messages that you have for their life-changing call that you have on their life. That we would hear those messages and we'll share them because we know you're a God who loves us and has great things for us. And may this be an amazing adventure over the next few weeks as we say that we are your servants. And may your word to us be fulfilled. In Jesus' name, amen.